How's everybody doing? Do you love God?
Yes.
Do you trust God?
Yes.
Sing with me this morning. I will trust in
the Lord.
Yes, I will. Sing it like you mean it. In
the Lord.
Yes, I will trust in the
Lord.
Ooh, until I die. Oh, yeah, who will I will trust in? Yes, I will trust in the will. I will trust in. Yes, oh, until I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to
stay on the battlefield.
Yes, I'm going to. The battlefield, I'm gonna stay on. Oh yes, yes, until I die. Oh yes, who will I'm gonna? Yes, the battlefield. Oh, I'm. Yes, the battlefield, I'm gonna stay on the battle. Yes, until I die. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly, truly honored guest. We thank you for being a part of our service this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you had a bad week last week, praise the Lord is over. Amen. This is the first day of the week, and we're thankful that God has blessed us to be here today. Just a good day. Good day today. We have been studying. We have been teaching a lesson series entitled The Jesus Examination Series. And I have, you might not have, but I have thoroughly enjoyed studying this series. I really have. I really can't teach and preach everything that I've studied, but it has blessed my life and humbled my life to get to know Jesus and understand him. I almost entitled the series the Jesus Investigation Series, but I stopped short of that simply because of the respect and awe I have for God, and I don't want to thank God to think that I'm investigating his son. Although Jesus does not shy away, God does not shy away from us learning more about him. And as we examine him, I'm hoping that all of us will come to a better understanding, because whatever other topic you want me to preach on, there's none more important than the Savior of all the world. And the more you know about him, the more you understand about Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit, I just believe the closer we're going to be to God. Amen. But I know there are some who are maybe not there yet, and some who you need to understand more about the Savior before you can just turn your whole life over to him. And that is exactly what he wants. Lesson one, we entitled his birth to demonstrate and to show the historicity of Jesus. He was historical. He lived. He was born just like we were born. It was a miraculous birth to demonstrate what is at stake, what we have at stake in the life of Jesus. Because the Bible would proclaim about Jesus that he was before all things. He had a physical birth, but he was before the physical birth. And that through him all things are held together, Colossians 1:18. We tried to deal with certain theories about Jesus that would refute, that would try to diffuse his viability, his uniqueness and his oneness and his sovereignty, the copycat theory. Those that would try to teach that Jesus was just a mere recreation of other deities and other gods, not to be. We dealt with the fulfilled prophecies that have been prophesied about Jesus, the supernatural announcements, the eyewitness accounts, all trying to affirm that Jesus historically lived on this earth. We this lesson two, his undeniable affirmations by non-believers and pagans who are writing, not purposely to confirm Jesus' Leah, but even without purpose, they still confirmed it just by mentioning Jesus on several occasions. Jewish sources that wrote about Jesus who were not Christians, but Jews who wrote about history, had to include Jesus in the history, the very calendar that we use. Even this day in the year 2016, we use the same calendar that depends on the life of Jesus, B.C. being before Christ, A.D. being the year of our Lord. Undeniable affirmations. Lesson number three, why did Jesus come into the world? To redeem us, to adopt, make sure we were adopted by the Father, to atone for our sins, to demonstrate the love that not only he has for us, that God the Father has for us. He came to save us from our sins. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We got some sinners in here this morning. Jesus came to save us from our sins, not to save you in your sins, but also to call us out from our sins. He came to preach and teach. That's his way. Jesus preached, and he even provided a way for preachers who have learned the word of God to continue to preach. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be through the taught word of God. Amen. And he came also to petition us. He wasn't just preaching just to be preaching. He came for us to make a choice in how we're going to live and who we're going to live for and who we're going to dedicate our lives to. And some folks say, I don't need Jesus. Well, if you don't need Jesus, you're serving somebody in this world. And I just would hope that you would just match them up to Jesus and see how they compare. The next lesson was Jesus in the flesh. He came in the flesh to identify us. He was tempted in all points, as all of us are tempted, that he would be a faithful and merciful Savior. Just the kind of Savior that we need, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. He came to model for us, to leave us an example that we can see how he lived and follow in his footsteps, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, came to qualify for the sacrifice of sins. But God would only accept the perfect sacrifice. And Jesus did that, and he qualified to save us from our sins. He came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 and verse number 8. And then we started getting into his life. And we see that Jesus didn't come here. He didn't come here full grown. He came as a baby. And Jesus paid his due. He studied just like we study. He was tempted in all points. He listened at the age of 12 and asked questions just like we need to be doing in our lives. He paid his dues before he started his ministry. When he started his ministry, he had such focus. He never forgot why. Anybody here know why you are on this earth? What's your main purpose? Oh, Brother Gary, I'm trying to build my career up. I'm looking for a wife. I'm looking for a husband. That's not why God puts you here. That may be a part of your life, but that's not why God, Jesus always recognized his mission. Not as I will, but as thy will be done. He always recognized it was about his Father's business. Some people take that as being selfish, that's being honoring. How in the world, why would God put me here for his business? Because he knows what's best. You've heard the phrase, the saying that Father knows best. Jesus knows, God knows what's best for all of us. And if we submit to his will, we'll get what we want. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, everything you want and desire, God going to give you a good wife. He'll give you a good husband. You'll be a good father. He'll provide for you. Yes, he did. And Jesus earned respect by the way he lived. He built his own reputation. And he didn't demand it. He earned it. He did it the best way that we do. We love people who walk what they talk. And Jesus did it over and over again. And then we got into his teaching last week. Last week we focused on his moral, ethical teaching, his teaching. He tells us, and Jesus was a one-of-a-kind master teacher. And he taught with authority, and people listened because he taught not as the scribes taught. He taught as one with great authority, and he had all authority because God, the Bible says, God gave him all authority in Matthew chapter 28. in verse number 19. He says to us in his teaching, you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. And see, salt has no purpose if it's lost its flavor. And he tells us to be flavorful everywhere we go, every situation, every environment that we are, that we are not to be influenced by the environment. We are to influence the environment. We bring light in darkness, and that's what he called us to do. His teachings were profound. He said, in everything, treat people the way you want to be treated. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. It's a rule for all time in all situations. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And his teaching was like none other. I'm going deeper into his teaching today. And Lord have mercy, his teaching is profound. It is profound, and you need to understand as we examine Jesus, you will notice every stage of his life. See, because it is his teaching that's going to save us. But see, you got to first believe that Jesus is, that he came, that he has all authority. That's some master teachers, there's some master teachers that teach, and they'll, before they even teach the class, they say, well, I need you to understand something, and I need to know from you, do I have your devotion? Do I have your commitment? Do I have your attention? Are you going to listen? Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to listen to your mom, your dad, or your friends? Because if you listen to them, you're not worthy of my teaching. And listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 40. Everybody's all right? I know that was a review, but I did that for the sake of those that were not here to understand that this is not just an overnight teaching. John 12:48, and shan't be too long. John 12:48. He who rejects me, this is Jesus talking, and does not receive my sayings. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. I'm going to go back and forth to this translation and the King James Translation. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings. Now, do you understand why Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, I have all the power. So he's the one you want. And he says, now, if you reject me and do I not receive my sayings, has one who judges him. And then he goes on to say, the word, the teaching I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. And then Jesus says, for I didn't speak on my own initiative. And you see throughout this context, he says, I didn't come to judge the world. Jesus says, I came to save the world. It's like he's saying to us, he says, look, these are my teachings, and you can take it or you can leave it. I'm not going to force you to do what I say, because I didn't even come to judge the world. I came to save the world. It's like Jesus says, take it or leave it, as it is this morning. I love preaching and teaching the word of God. Sometimes, sometimes we get too forceful when we're trying to share the word. We want people to make me. Do you understand it? You need to understand this. But I'm not going to get mad this morning. I know there's some who want it and some who don't. And whosoever will is what Jesus says. Let him. That's who God wants. And I just believe there's somebody in here seeking the Lord this morning. And Jesus says this. He says, the word I spoke, it will judge him in the last. It's going to be the teaching. It's going to be the word that has the final say. Not philosophy, not feelings, but the word. Then he goes on to say, for I didn't speak of mine own initiative, but the Father himself, there's that focus again, who sent me has given me a commandment. Everybody say commandment. I want you to say it, because you understand that with a commandment, either you do it and please him or you don't. Amen. It's not like you can waver and it's either you're going to do what I say or you're not. It's a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. Jesus' words come from the Father. The Father is the orchestrator. Jesus performs all of the tasks and makes them. He is the initiator, and he's teaching what the Father says. But they are one. He says, I know his commandments. I know that his commandment is eternal life. teaching as we examine Jesus. Therefore, the things, notice how many times he says, speak, say, word, command. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Don't you want to know some of the things that Jesus said? Oh, yeah, I piqued my own interest. I want to know everything he said. Because if the word is going to judge me, I need to know what he said. Amen, church? Yeah, see, this is where the Bible comes to life. Matthew 7:21. I just wish I had time to do it all. Not everyone, this is Jesus talking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, this ought to open the eyes, because it's talking to, you know, there are a lot of religious folks. And a lot of people will say, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and I love Jesus, and I'm too blessed to be stressed, and thank God for every day in my life. Amen. Some people do a lot of talking. I know you're not in here this morning, but maybe you need to mention this to some folk who are always saying glory, hallelujah, on one hand, and cursing, lying, and stealing. Jesus says, not everyone who said, obviously it was back in his day also, but he who does, here it is, the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Those who are going to make it to heaven going to be striving to do the will of the Father as Jesus did the will of the Father. And he makes this bold statement, and he says, then he goes on to say something even more cutting to make sure you understand how serious God is about us keeping his word. That's why we're talking about his teaching today, because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where your opinion and your feelings don't count. Because, see, this is what he says after verse 22. Listen to this. Many will say unto me on that day, it is a day that God is going to call all things into account. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? You know the word prophesy has a couple of meanings. There were the Old Testament prophets who foretold what was to happen in the future. Then you had the preachers who would prophesy, who would boldly proclaim the word. He says, did we not preach in your name? What are you saying, Brother Gary? That's some preachers who are not preaching the word of God. Yeah. It might be me. How would you know if you don't know the word of God? But that's in your Bible, isn't it? And Jesus is saying, he says, there are many who will say in that name, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name have cast out demons. In your name performed many miracles. Wonderful works, the King James translation would say. You mean many acts and many preachers and many sermons and many things that are going to be done? Jesus is going to say, and then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The New American Translation would say, King James Translation would say, who work iniquity. And some of us in the Church of Christ, we don't like to hear this passage read out loud. But is it in your Bible? Amen. And it is Jesus' teaching. And it's God saying to us, I want you to preach my word. Notice, not only preach my word, but preach it for the right reasons. You see that in just a minute as we continue to study, examine the life of Jesus Christ. See, notice this. This is not political. It's not Hollywood. It's not the movies. God does not want us to lie and do anything that's not his will. You know, the world sensationalizes everything and try to make everything so magnified that it impresses folk. God wants you to do what he wants you to do. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Let's continue to study. I don't want to get too, don't close your ears yet. Don't close your ears yet. But I just want you to understand the importance of the teaching. He goes on to say, he says this in Matthew 15:9, in vain, but in vain they do worship me, He says, you know, what makes them, you know what vain means really in plain English? It don't count. They're doing it for nothing. In vain, they do worship me. And worship, hold up now, Brother Gary, what are you saying? You mean saying some folks that's singing songs of praise to God? Some people that's worshiping God, maybe some people that's worshiping God today, you mean they might be worshiping you? Yes, they may be. Yes, we may be. He says, well, how do you qualify? What makes it vain is they are teaching the precepts or the commandments of me. That's what makes worship does not count to God. Even though you say you are worshiping God. Yeah. That's pretty strong. Don't you think that? I told you when I was studying this, I said, Lord, have mercy. Please don't let me lead nobody. Because a lot of people just follow folk. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't, if he sound good, if he's using the right words, if she got the right clothes on, she's powerful, he's powerful. Oh, yeah, he says a strong word. You better listen to what they're saying. Make sure it's coming from the Bible. Let me get into a little bit of detail. You all right with me? I don't want to be too long. Everybody's all right? You still love the Lord? In Matthew 4, this is some of Jesus' teaching, his teaching. Matthew 4, 23, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the king, the gospel, good news, good words, good communication. And you know that John the Baptist was Jesus' forerunner. And John the Baptist's main message was repent. He says, for the kingdom is near. The kingdom is at hand. That was his main message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from sin, for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came preaching the kingdom, the gospel, the good news of the king. The gospel when Jesus was preaching is right at the footstep. Right at the doorstep. And he started teaching. See, he started teaching some of the teaching that were to be held on to in the kingdom. Yeah, and see, you know, because you know in the New Testament, this is not lesson on old in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, but now he's obtained a more excellent ministry as much as he is the mediator of a better covenant. Jesus was trying to get us ready for something even better than what already was. A better covenant established on better promises, Hebrews. And so in this new covenant in Jesus' teaching, he's just not concerned about, as many of the Jews were, actions that are the final result of sin. Go turn to Matthew chapter 5, and let's get specific, a little bit more specific. Jesus' teaching was, listen to this one. He says, you've heard that the ancients were told you should not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. And the Jews, rest of the Jewish leaders, they knew the law. They knew that murder was a sin under their law. But you know how people get so smart and think they so slick. The Jews always, they look for loopholes. And Jesus was trying to help them understand, look, murder, you know murder is a sin. But he goes on, look at verse 22, but I say, notice, now you heard what has been said of old, but I say, why in the world could he say, I say, because all authority has been given unto him. He's the Son of God. He says, now this is the real teaching that you need to understand. Now, it didn't negate that murder was still a sin. But I want you to understand something even deeper. You want some deeper teaching from Jesus? Listen to what he said. But I say that everyone who is angry with his brother, and the King James translation would say, without cause, he says, shall be guilty before the, because he said, now Jude, you talking about the act of murder. And Jesus is not only, God is not only concerned about the end, the final result of sin. God is concerned by what leads to sin. My God, you see, and one commentator I was reading last week, he says, you know, God, he said, not only can you commit the act of murder, you can also commit heart murder. I know we don't have any heart murderers in here this morning. Let me rephrase that. I pray we don't have. Jesus says, you talking about murder. He said, let me run something else by you. He said, if you're angry with your brother or your sister without a cause, sometimes we get mad. See, God, Jesus wants us to control the insides. He wants us to get a rein to have some of this fruit of the Spirit on what's going on in our hearts. And if you are getting angry, you know, and that's a lot of things you can get angry about, you know. And the Bible does say, be angry and sin not. And so it's not saying that we won't get angry. But how many of you, if you're in here right now, how many of you have ever dropped something and broken it before? Raise your hand if you've ever dropped a cup, dropped a plate, dropped a saucer. Now, that's just about every hand in here. Now, you're in the restaurant, and the waiter comes to your table, and they drop a plate on the floor. Now, what is that called? What? It's called an accident. Now, do you really think that they purposely dropped that plate? Nobody would. I mean, you know, maybe somebody might try to, but they dropped the plate. And you, let me, since I'm not talking to the world, I'm going to talk to Christians. You being a Christian, and you just go ballistic. I do mean to step on somebody's toe this morning. And you just go ballistic in the restaurant. And you get a paw. And you make a great big scene. And you are so angry. And you're showing your... and the young lady, the young man, wasn't trying to do it. But they did it. And you're angry about them doing something that anybody could do. You see, Jesus, Lord, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Instead of you going ballistic, oh, baby, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Just give me another one. You're the light of the world. And Jesus said, you're talking about heart murder. You're talking about murder in the act. See, a lot of people commit murder, especially this frivolous spur of the moment murder, because they are harboring this wrong attitude and have anger. So how many, raise your hand in here if you have ever had an accident, car accident, and it wasn't your fault. Wasn't your fault. A lot of folk in here. I do mean to step on somebody's toe. You had an accident. It wasn't your fault. You go home, your spouse, whoever it might be, just, you had an accident. How you have an accident? Trying to work, but baby, I was fine. I was riding along. I wasn't doing what I was. I'm stopped at the light, and the man just came up behind me. And, well, how he hit you like that? This is Jesus teaching. He said, you angry without cause. And see, in the Jewish religion, boy, I got to stop. In the Jewish religion, there were three capital punishments they had. And you see, he says the council, the judgment, and then you're going to see the last one is fiery hell. The first capital punishment was beheading. They were beheading. And notice the progression of this passage as he goes along. He says, you're angry with your brother without cause, he shall be guilty of the court. Whosoever says, brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. The second capital punishment, you had beheading. The second capital punishment was stoning. The second capital punishment. And he says, notice his progression. And then he gets to it, whosoever says you fool is... And not, you know, the scripture does label who a fool is. But when you depict someone else as totally worthless, it's a use of the word maliciously, and it's a spiteful word, and you literally reduce someone to being no count for nothing. He says the third capital punishment was to be thrown in a fiery pit of Gehenna. It's the place that they took them. It was rarely used. And Jesus says, if you do that, you're in danger of hellfire. You know why there's so much sporadic, instantaneous murder? And that would be, see, so you can not only heart murder, you can tongue murder. We can use our tongue to commit an act that God will put on the same level as the act of murder. Lord have mercy. I told you, Jesus is teaching. See, Jesus knows that you don't just up and shoot nobody. That you don't just up and cut nobody or poison anybody. It builds up from somewhere. And I do have a question. I asked the same question last week. Where is all this anger coming from? And he's trying to get us in the mind frame in our lives, in our daily lives, to live in such a way that we give people the benefit of the doubt, that we don't think the worst of people, that we try to understand and see, because see, if you catch any of us on a bad day, we might act any kind of way. And people might misread us. I may be walking down the street, I've had a bad day, I've got a ticket. Raise your hand if you got a ticket, a traffic ticket before. Won't that mess up your day? Is there anybody have ever got a traffic ticket coming to church? Lord, have mercy. Look, don't raise your hand, please. But a traffic ticket can put you in a bad mood. And see, and Jesus is saying, look, you're not God. Nobody's perfect. Everybody counts. Stop getting so mad and angry with folks when you don't even understand what's going on. Ooh, help me, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, I was reading this. I said, ooh, Lord, sometimes my wife don't even know why I call. I said, I'm calling you, baby. How you doing? I love you. Let me give you another one. Even he's not just concerned about our actions that are the final result of sin, or even perceived good actions. See, this is why you have to be careful how you praise people. Is the Lord knows all things, and he knows the motive. Because see, some people do things to be seen of people. And Jesus, his teaching, he's not just concerned about the final result of sin, but he's concerned about the seeds of our thoughts and where our understanding. He's concerned about the very beginning. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Matthew 6, 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Boy, I wish I was sitting at the foot of Jesus when he was giving this dissertation and this sermon. He says, beware of practicing your right. Why do you think Jesus even said that? Because he knew there were some folk there who were doing things to be seen of me. He said, beware of that. Because see, he knows from the heart why they are doing what they're doing. What do you mean, Brother Gary? He says, otherwise you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Yesterday was so beautiful here at the Fieldwater Church. You know, we're preparing for our Day of Good Works. Some of you that are visiting may not know our Day of Good Works is coming up on July the 30th. And it takes some work to put things together that are to have a great impact. And many of our members came here and were working, had our T-shirts on, and working. I got a video clip later on at the end. I think we can show a little piece of some of the things they were doing. And you had older members, you had younger members, you had people who were folding paper, people who were hanging up clothes, and people who were lifting boxes, and people who were cutting things, and then we had a group that went out and was walking in the neighborhood, passing out flyers, trying to let our community know what we're doing, trying to invite people to come here so we can be benevolent and also share the gospel with them. And we didn't have a sign-up list for everybody that came. But God knows you came. God knows you came. And matter of fact, I hope you don't take this the wrong way. See, because the more you're out front, the more people shoot darts at you. Or throw darts at them. They don't shoot them, but now some people shoot them. But you want to go to heaven? Do things not to be seen of people. Do things for the sake of the kingdom. Do things because you love people and you love God. And you know what? Sometimes I wish I could go incognito. And just, because we have members in the body, thank God for you, who just, you know, do little things. You know, they'll write a note, send a card. We have people here that were working, but we also had people who went to the funeral of Sister Anthony's brother. Who you know, we everybody not have the same talents, same gifts, who took the time out to find out when it is. Somebody said, well, bro, I don't have nothing to do in the church. Excuse me? Church this size? Have you read your bulletin? We have a sick list. When do they go visiting? On Thursdays? You don't have to wait. I know you can't visit everybody, but I'm just saying, see, when you're looking for notoriety, they only show up when the crowd is. And Jesus says, beware. Have the right motivation for doing what you do. And then he goes on to say, Lord have mercy. He says, so when you give to the poor, do not sound the trumpet before you. Then he says, as the hypocrites do. I don't like hypocrites. Hypocrites, it's a theatrical term that, you know, people who are acting. You know, that's some good actors. I like movies. You ever seen an actor or the actress just cry on demand?
Yeah.
But they're doing it for praise. They're doing it, oh, she's a great actor, actress. Oh, doesn't he do a wonderful job? And it seems that the Lord and Jesus despise the hypocrites. And he says, don't do it as the hypocrites. He says, do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their full reward. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I didn't want to stop there, but I just don't want to go over time. And I want you to come back next Lord's Day if the Lord says the same and we're here. Because next Lord's Day, I want to give some teaching on Jesus, what he teaches about his kingdom. How we see his kingdom is only one kingdom. One kingdom. Notice this. And the kingdom, Jesus is the king of his kingdom. And if you're going to be saved, you got to be in his kingdom, and you have to do it his way. But to those that's already in the kingdom, just because you're in the kingdom don't mean you're going to be saved. Because a lot of folk, maybe even a lot of folk in here this morning, you waiting for me to get to the kingdom. But Jesus, notice this. Especially early in his ministry, he mainly preached to Jews who already knew God and trying to help them to have the right attitude and help them to live right and treat people right, because nobody wants to be in a kingdom that people don't love and know how to treat each other. Lord have mercy. Read, your homework is to read Matthew 5, 6, 7. Read the whole Bible next week. God is good. He's wonderful. I didn't want to stop there. I had two more lessons, but I just time won't allow me to finish it up. But don't you just bleed and yearn at the teaching of Jesus? Because he taught as no other. He's taught with all authority. You're here today and you're not a child of God. You need to be. You need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. That's why this is no joke. You need to be back. See, you need to put all your eggs in the basket of Jesus if you're here. No allegiance to anybody else as we examine him. I hope that's the conclusion that you come to. I'm not there yet, Brother Gary. Oh, Lord, keep studying. Keep studying. And if you want to compare, pick your teaching, your belief, compare it with Jesus, whatever it is. You're a Muslim, you are a Hindu, you are whatever you are, compare it to Jesus, right alongside Jesus, and tell me what you got out of it. You come by faith. If you're here today, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. If you're here today, if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're here today, you must repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5, I tell your neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. If you're here today, you need to confess the name of Jesus Christ. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. If you're here today, you need to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It's all about Jesus. And if you live faithful unto death, the Bible says he'll give us a crown. Crown, not a crown that fadeth away, but a crown of life that is unto eternal life. And you too will be added to the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, and we live faithful, will be his forever and ever. You desire to come and be baptized, we'll baptize you today. If you're here and you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you want to get something right in Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
There's a fountain free and tears for you.